Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name's Caroline, and today we are recapping season 5, episode 23 of Pretty Little Liars called The Melody Lingers On. And ain't that the truth?
I guess, especially in this episode.
Well, yeah. In fact, I know you guys, if you have seen this episode recently, you might think the melody in question is the song that emanates from Mona's room. But no, the melody I'm talking about that lingers on for a little bit too long is whatever that alt rock song is that plays during the entire courtroom scene.
Yeah, that was really
strange. Why do they play the entire 3-minute song? It's like it's got to be like Marlene's son's demo.
But do you know what the third melody is that lingers on?
What? Tippy the Bird? Ha ha ha. There it is.
Yes.
There it is.
And I just got to say before we get into this, Burskalina. And I Phoebe, freaking beat Caroline Phoebe, to it. And I freaking beat Caroline
Phoebe,
to it.
You, no, Phoebe, you literally took the words right out of my mouth because as I got in here, I felt this little shiver go down my spine. I thought, Burskalina, which is actually how I was taught to say it. We are obviously taught to say it a little bit differently.
Well, Mom,
can you do yours again?
Now, Mom,
can you do yours again?
Now, Mom fully says it in real Georgia most of the time. That's
yeah, well,
it.
Now it's like we couldn't replicate it if we tried. And Phoebe will try. And Phoebe, for some reason, is not embarrassed to try. But wait, no, try the way that you did it first.
Burskalina. Okay. I kind of say it in my own way. I'm not really saying it like Mom. I was never really taught
you,
how to say it.
No, and you know what, Phoebe? That is so true about you. You have always just marched to your own freaking beat. The beat of your own freaking drummer, even. Guys, yeah. Did you know that one of our band names from our childhood was How I Met My Drummer? Just a little known.
We won't take credit for that. We didn't come up with it.
I can't take credit for very much in that band at all. I just showed up and laid down some fierce freaking vocals, you know, and then it's like I'm outie after that. Anywho, but
Burskalina comes from our mom, by the way.
If that wasn't abundantly that clear by this point in the podcast, you guys should be pretty like you should be pretty good at determining whether or not what we're saying is from us.
Well, it's like when you like hear another language,
truly
and you're
regurgitated
like,
from somebody else. Oh, yeah. It's like you're speaking it and your accent might be good, but I can tell it doesn't quite roll off your tongue, you know. That's not your native language.
Like people who hear things that come like directly from our mom, they hear it the way that like they might hear Spanish being spoken. And they're like, I can't speak that, but I know that that's Spanish.
But what I'm also saying is they hear it as if it's Spanish spoken by somebody who English is their first language. So
yeah,
like they know
it's
Spanish, but they're like, OK, I know it's Spanish. I don't know what they're saying. And I know that they don't speak Spanish either. I know that's not like their thing, you know. But it's the same thing with Mom and like real Georgia. Like if I say something, it's like the people who are hearing it, they're like, okay, I understand that's a different language. But they're also like, but it was a little clunky. I can tell that's not
Lily's,
her language.
Lily's the only one that's gotten closer than even Liney has. And Liney allegedly was there when the language was created.
Liney was part of the creation. Liney's lost it. She used to have it. God, how sad. Liney, and we're not making fun of you. Liney.
We've cracked the code about how Latin died.
Oh my God. Phoebe.
You might sit and ask yourself, how do languages die?
We did it.
Well, this is how.
And that's all Phoebe's saying on that. And I'm her agent because it's actually her theory.
All this to say, guys, man, I'm full of theories this week. Also, Mimi, I love that. So Mimi sent me a screenshot of her listening to this week's Tuesday episode.
Oh, good for you,
and
Mimi.
She doesn't really listen.
Yeah,
she doesn't really
think
listen.
So.
But I was like, of course, this is the episode she listens to. I talk about her 8,000 times, and I kind of air her dirty laundry about how when she sees a man that she thinks is even remotely cute, she will adopt whatever she needs to her personality to make it work in her
and
head.
And now you are doing it again.
It's all love. I do the same thing. She's just so funny. Every week it's a different text that's like, I love Boston accents. It's like we've never even heard her like say the city name Boston.
Hey, Mimi, I just want to say, don't feel bad because Amber got like 45 minutes of the pod dedicated to her. So if you need someone to commiserate with, the friends of the Connell sisters who feel absolutely mutilated after listening to this podcast, then you guys know where to find each other. And that's Instagram.
Amber's a really good sport, though.
She's a great sport. Amber's the best.
She said she was laughing really hard.
Yeah, through her freaking tears. Anyway, you're on the recap, and that's music to my freaking ears. You already recorded it?
I already recorded it, and guess what?
What?
Another freaking wonderful surprise for myself. It was in my notebook when I opened it.
Okay, but I'm just confused how it happens 2 weeks in a row, and it's now a surprise.
Well, it's like I forget that I did it.
It's just funny that you forgot after, like, it's a habit now. You've done it twice.
And that is how many times it takes to make something a habit, famously.
But especially if it's spaced out over a week. Because that's, like, time to forget it. Time to forget and move the heck on, you know, from that habit. But you didn't.
That's not a habit.
Let's see if the third... I remember in health class, they told us 21 days is a habit. And I'm just... And you know what? And I'm challenging that theory. So you drop your little theory about how languages die, and I'm dropping this theory. And that's fine. And we're allowed to do that because this is our freaking podcast. Okay.
Did you realize that our season 5 finale episode is going to be released on Halloween?
No. Oh my God. That's fun. Well, guys, that's also...
And one might say that that's pretty freaktastic. It's the first Dollhouse episode.
Oh my God, it is? Okay, wait, to spoil that completely.
Well, the episode title is Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Oh my God. I'm actually stressed out and nervous. There has been so much build up to the Dollhouse.
I know.
I'm going to be jealous is what it is. I'm going to be like, I want to be at the Dollhouse.
No,
I know it's torture.
No,
I know it's torturous, but like.
It's actually so much worse than I think that you could imagine.
Honestly, Phoebe, now that we are talking about it, I'm shocked Shay Mitchell even went to the Polly Pocket Airbnb. That had to be PTSD. Very triggering for her. Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't notice that, but guys, that's also the day that our giveaway ends. And if you are a listener who trails off by the end of the episode, then you might not know yet. But yes, we are doing a giveaway and it starts today. If you're listening on Thursday, October 17th, it starts today. It's on Instagram. So you can go there to enter at the Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. And then it will close on the 31st. So famously known as Halloween. And that's also famously when season 5 finale will come. I mean, wow, what a day. And now I can't sleep because I can't wait. But it's probably good I can't sleep right now because we are working.
We are clocked in.
Okay. And you know who else is clocked in? Rebecca. Fucking Rebecca, Allie's defense lawyer.
All right, here's the recap. So way back when Allie had her winter ball, the girls were in there in Allie's house trying to look for, like, clues. And they found that Allie was talking to someone through personal ads in the mailbox. We also get a flashback to Johnny making his secret machine, so that will be important, I guess. We remember that Tanner and Toby saw Haleb at the storage unit where Mona's alleged remains were found. Will they go after Caleb next? That's Hannah's thought. Jason and Ashley hooked up, and then PT Cruiser proposed, and then Ashley told him, then PT Cruiser was like, wait, and then he was like, wait, never mind, let's get married still. Aria and Smart Andrew are in some sort of flirtationship. And he's, like, obsessed with being a liar. Allie was offered a plea deal where if she offered up who her accomplice was, she would, like, get 10 years with parole? I don't remember. I literally don't remember. Hannah was arrested. And she was not actually arrested because of the plea deal. She was arrested because her blood was found on Mona's clothes. Allie is not taking the plea deal, and she still wants to take the stand. And you know who's clocked out and has apparently been clocked out for like ages?
Allison DeLandis and Candy.
Guys, I just want to say, so we open and we're like doing courtroom prep. In a second, we're going to realize that opening statements are tomorrow. And I just want to walk you guys through some of the questions that are being asked on trial eve.
Okay.
Ken is like, I just don't like the idea. He's like learning what a jury is. He's the day like, before wait his a daughter minute, goes
a jury
on trial.
Of her peers? Just, her peers hate her.
I just don't like the idea that her entire fate is in the hands of these 12 jurors. And I'm like, yeah, that's like, we should have been wrapping our heads around this did you not take civics in high school?
Yeah, yeah.
Which seems to be a rising epidemic in this country that nobody has taken civics or paid attention during their civics class.
Well, I wonder if part of this is also that Ken, and now I'm just like, I'm digging deeper. I'm not arguing. I'm wondering, do you think that he like really, because we haven't seen him. He's been kind of MIA. So
he's been clocked out.
So like, it's hard to know what his attitude
towards
this
has been. Suddenly he cares.
Right. But in my mind, I'm like, maybe he really wanted, like Rebecca, really wanted Allie to take this plea deal. And so he's like still kind of trying to like talk Allie out of taking it to trial. Maybe that is like where that's coming from. I'm you know what it is? I'm looking for a shred of redeemability here. I'm trying to say, Ken D, come on, dude, give me something. I know you know what a jury is. I know you knew what a jury was before today. Come on.
And Allie is no better because she's still on this whole testifying thing.
Oh,
she is still like, Dad, but it's okay. The jury, if you were just going to let me talk,
she's like,
I would be able to convince the
jury. I need to be able to tell my story. And Rebecca's like, okay.
By the way, the singing just reminded me of this episode. This is a crazy episode for Aria, too.
Oh, yes, it is. I had multiple jaw-dropping moments.
While we're at it. Spencer and Caleb, it's a pretty crazy episode for them, too.
Phoebe.
Emily has a completely normal episode. Not one thing out of line.
Oh, my God. There's a lot in here, but Phoebe, you can't just pile it all on me in the beginning. The episode spaced this out perfectly because it said, okay, we're going to drop a bomb, give Caroline time to recover by the time the next bomb is dropped. By the time Spencer touches Caleb's shoulder inappropriately here, Caroline will be recovered from this.
By the time Aria and Emily are out the door and Caleb goes,
like, Spence, and then says nothing. Do you mean to tell me you, like Cynthia Erivo, can communicate only with your eyes? You shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, Cynthia Erivo heard the podcast. So she said, thank you for joining.
It was on the Patreon.
Synth, thanks for joining. But she said, Phoebe Connell.
No.
The original is an illustration, just like your sister Caroline said.
I'm sorry. The reaction she had was crazy.
I don't know if it's like totally crazy. I think here's what I think's happening. And I do feel the need to defend her because I think she's so talented, but also this is who she is. She is drama. We've known this.
Yeah.
And
like, I guess that's true.
You know what I
mean?
Like the Broadway girlies, like we've known this. And
you're right. I just wish that there was a little bit more tongue-in-cheekedness to the story post. Because she could have made it funny and still addressed it.
I agree. But I think that also for her, she's feeling very, very insecure. Like, this is her... It's not her first foray into film, but next to someone like Ariana and with this, you know, such an iconic role, like, she's got a lot of pressure. And I think
she's nominated for Harriet?
I don't remember right now. Oh, there's a song.
Guys, the song from that film. I love this woman.
I mean,
and I know that I'm not.
I
and
love
here's the thing.
Her.
Me critiquing the poster had literally
nothing to do with
Cynthia Erivo.
I know it didn't.
I was just like, I don't know if I know that they were paying homage to it. I get it. Here's what I would have preferred. If they weren't going to do it. I would say I would have preferred like just a behind the scenes picture of Ariana and Cynthia like recreating it in like a fun, playful way. But I kind of feel like the movie, if they weren't going to try to get it as close to that as they could, maybe we didn't.
But is that how we're going to feel about the whole movie then? You know, like,
no. I don't think so.
I better not.
Because no, not at all. I don't foresee that happening.
Because I kind of do, because this whole attitude about the poster has made me foresee that happening. It's just going to be annoying because what it is, and I'm not saying this isn't you, which is why I'm like, Phoebe, this isn't you, which is why I'm like,
by the way, wearing mom's favorite sweatshirt that all three of her daughters own.
Oh my God, she hates it. The poster, I think a lot of the people who are complaining about the poster are really, it's like personality swap between you and me. Like, it should be the people complaining who are like Broadway purists and whatever. And like, that's a lot of the attitude. Lisa that's Barlow. Not you, right? Like, you're not that. So I don't know why you give a fuck. But all the people in the thespian world who are pissed about it, it's because they're like, oh, Wicked belongs to me. And it's that kind of thing. So they are going to bring that energy into the theater. 1,000%.
That's not why. It's not coming from like a purist way for me. It's coming from, I feel like it wouldn't have been that much harder to get right. That's more of what it is, which is why I'm like,
but what,
the movie,
you know what,
I feel like
worse?
I'll be more.
She tries so hard to get the look perfect and it fucking
isn't.
I mean,
that's true. That's why I'm kind of like, did they need to do it at all?
Yeah, I think they did. And I am not upset about it. But I also realized that I am not going to be accepting any criticism for the film because Anthony keeps being like, I hope it's good. And it's like actually making me mad. I was like, what do you mean going to be? It actually already is. I can see that it's good from the previews. What?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
are they?
What?
Wait a second. Are you taking any of that week for Thanksgiving off?
I'm taking the whole month of the Wicked and theaters off.
And December. So I can recover.
For Christmas.
And see it every day.
So I can watch the Ezra
Fitz
Christmas movie every day. And I rent it out of theater.
What if we get tickets for a Wednesday night showing and then have fun?
Why a Wednesday night? You mean like the 21st?
Because it comes out Thanksgiving.
No, it comes out the 22nd.
We're not going to be together.
No, I know.
Well, it's best that you're with Kelly.
Thank
let me,
you.
Let me
That's
reframe
true.
This in my mind. Let me reframe this in
That's
my mind.
That's true, but
let
don't worry. Like, the first time I see it, it's kind of going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it was all a rush. What happened? What just
Maybe
happened?
I'll go see it by like myself that. So that I can.
So you can have that experience without an audience?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
So you can be like,
and so that I don't have to tame my response to other people singing. So I like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want someone to see me like clenching my jaw every time someone sings along with the movie, whoever I see the movie with. I don't want them to be like, okay, why is she having a physical reaction to people having fun in the theater?
I hope people are going to learn very quickly that if they start singing
along,
they're going to be embarrassed because these girls are taking liberties, you guys. These girls are not staying completely on the same rhythms. You know what I'm saying? So like you might go on
Did
the OBC score and you might be wrong and you might sing early
Did
and you,
you
might be embarrassed.
Did you see any discourse about the, because I've only seen positive stuff about the note change in Defying Gravity, the way she
does
me
too.
Okay, good.
No, I'm not saying negatively.
See that being similar to the poster thing of there being.
I'll tell
like,
you, Cynthia might be taking all the heat right now. As soon as people see this film, Ariana will be on the fucking chopping block. So it is going to be Ari who everyone's mad at when they see it. And they're not going to be accurate. I'm going to tell you right now. Like, I've been saying this for years. People with brains have been saying this for years. Ari is a Broadway baby.
I know. The fear
like,
I just never
I
understood.
I just am not scared. Like, was I surprised to hear, because for a lot of my life, Ari to me is an Elphaba. But So that what I was surprised to hear when she was like, oh, no, it's Glinda. That's who I don't want to be. I was like, OK, whatever. I reframed it. But I was surprised she booked it in the movie because I mostly of the like response, you know, I knew it would be like that. And I think everyone did. But she's going to be great.
I think
I really am so not worried about it. Like, I'm going to absolutely love her performance. I know I am.
And Kristen Chenoweth trusts her with it so much.
Yes. And also, like, okay, so we see what? We had Cynthia with Submit for Best Actor, Actress, and then Ari for Best Supporting. And then I think in the second movie, they'll switch them.
It'll be reversed.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. She's going to get an EGOT. Oh my God. She's going to get an EGOT.
I know.
Everybody buckle your seatbelts. But first, buckle your seatbelts for this.
Okay.
Episode.
Sorry, guys. We had to just talk about that for a second. But now we are only Pretty Little Liars.
We basically, Rebecca tells us the prosecutor always has the harder job.
And she says they only need one person on the jury to doubt Allie.
Allie goes, wait.
Just one?
Okay, so tell me again why I'm not testifying.
Yeah,
because I can get one man to fall in love with me. And yeah.
She's like, my whole thing is like puppeteering.
Change begins
like,
with just one.
Yeah, exactly. So we have PT Cruiser. Good to see you, dude. And Ashley, and they're meeting with Hannah.
Him,
oh my God.
Being here for this, he is. I mean, that is.
It's a tough up.
Ashley
for him.
Marin just cheated on him with a 25-year-old hot ass guy,
and
who's
she's
involved
got,
in this whole
she's
thing.
She's got this criminal daughter that, like, to be frank, I mean, Hannah, I love you, but like from PT Cruiser's perspective, you're probably a little bit of a nuisance, you know.
Yeah.
Like a little bit. Like, and I don't agree with that, but like probably. So Ashley is definitely going to go to the hearing tomorrow because Allie's hearing tomorrow because she needs to hear what happens so that if there's any information, you know, she doesn't hear it secondhand, she can figure out what's going on, if Hannah's going to be implicated, whatever. But Hannah is like hardcore denying that this is Allie. She's like, someone is doing this to me. I am telling you it is not Allie. But no one fucking believes Hannah. Like, Ashley's like,
and I will
Allie
say
DeLaurentis is capable of anything.
If I'm Ted and I'm hearing the way that Hannah is defending Allie, everything's starting to make sense. And, like, why Hannah would put herself in a situation for Allie to
yeah.
be put in jail if Allie did kill Mona, which he probably believes at this point.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know Allie.
Right.
He knows of Allie the same way everybody else in town does. So he probably believes that Allie did it. And seeing the way that Hannah is fighting for them to believe that Allie couldn't have done it mm-hmm. is probably making him be like,
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Hannah's being hilarious. Like, Ashley says basically, okay, give me something on Allie. Like, she's like, tell me the worst thing Allie's ever done. Like, tell me something. And Hannah's like, what? Do anything to save yourself? Like, what section of the Bible is that in? What part of scripture is that? PT. And he's just like, listen, this isn't.
It's about the truth.
Yeah.
And then Ashley says, I don't care about the truth. I care about getting you out.
And then that
here.
Moment, I'm like, wait, Ashley, do you think there's a chance Hannah? No, she doesn't think Hannah did. She thinks Allie did.
Yeah.
Sorry, not me stuttering. I said Allie. Okay. So Spencer is briefing Emily and Aria and for some reason Caleb. I skipped ahead.
No, we're at the Hastings Castle and Spencer is looking at the old clippings.
Forgot about these.
The newspaper. And let me tell you guys, I'm so fucking bored of this phone number storyline. It is the most boring thing in the freaking world. And they realized that the ads in the newspaper had the same phone number as the Varjack phone number on the pizza receipt. And they're trying to figure out, like, what that means.
If that can
and
help
And I did want to note, I'm glad the girls didn't decide to just, like, wipe their hands and call it a day when Hannah got arrested.
Well, yeah, thank God. You know, there was
I was
a moment
half
where,
thinking
well,
that they'd be like, oh, what are we, what can we do?
Well, we do get a little moment later where I think, if I were to call
well, we,
Arya's
we know who will
bluff.
Be the first to fall.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Aria does ask, like, does this help Hannah? Like, how are we going to figure this out? And so we realize, like, if Allie doesn't get charged with murder, Hannah can't be charged as an accessory to murder. So we really, like, anything that can help Allie get off, it does help Hannah, too. So we need to figure out who this number belongs to. And then Vivi comes down. What is with
well,
the writers?
Well, also we learn that Neelan's office is locked and closed.
Yeah. What is it with the writer suddenly deciding to, like, give us information on, like, why the girls aren't at school? Because this is the second episode.
I wrote that down too.
Vivi comes down and she's like, girls, you're going to be late for school. And I'm like, since when do you care? And then Spencer goes, no,
I literally wrote
teacher conference, drop the first two periods. I told you.
This is the most sense that a timeline has ever made
yes.
in this show.
Yes. And I don't know.
And by the time
why,
they get to school, I'm like, this makes sense.
They're like, okay, we're kind of running out of shit to talk about. We need to fill some more time. Cause I did feel like a lot of these scenes, there was a lot of like, time was wasted a little bit on purpose. And I wonder if they're just like, just throw in some like logistical lines that the fans have been begging us for. Like, get them off our back.
Vivi says, perfect. Then this is my chance to talk to all of you. Stay the fuck away from the courtroom.
If I so much as think you're in the courtroom. And that is what's true, because Vivi literally thinks they're going to go. And like, it's as if like she's hitting Spencer, though. Like, the girl, so the whole thing is the girls think if they don't go, it's going to look like they think Allie is guilty. And Vivi says, we're not talking about ethics. And Spencer says, that's for sure. And that's when Emily and Ari are like,
line
and
delivery.
That's goodbye. Oh, it's that's
that
for sure.
Line delivery was awesome.
Oh, it was awesome. And it literally motivated Ari and Emily to get the fuck out there. Like, I don't want to be here for what happens next.
And Vivi said to Spencer once they left, promise me you will not go near that courtroom.
Spencer keeps giving Vivi that look like, what are you going to do to me? You know what I mean? Like,
and what are you going to do about it?
Or more, no, what are you going to do to me? Like, she's like scared of Vivi. She always does this.
I'm not getting the sense that Spencer's scared of Vivi in this episode.
No, it's just this one moment. Like, she walks up and Vivi like steps in front of her and Spencer like looks her up and down as if she's like, Mom, what are you doing? Like, remember that one time Vivi grabbed her arm and she was like, oh, Mom, please. Like, as if it was like something that happened a lot.
Then we, as if it was like Pam Fields.
Yeah, come on.
Then we go to the brew and Spencer is talking to Caleb, Aria, and Emily about the phone number. Caleb's been searching for this phone number and he can't find anything about it. Anytime he searches something, it just like disappears.
It always ends up in a black hole of nothingness.
Perfect. Awesome. And they're like, why would someone use an insanely secure phone number to order pizza? And the idea is like, maybe they don't know what they have. But then Aria goes, why don't they pick up when we call? I can think of like 800 reasons.
Well, okay, wait.
The first
is that
being
what,
they don't recognize the phone number.
Is that what was killing you so much about this, or was it the next part where Spencer looks at Caleb and goes, "Do you have a burner phone?" And it is as, and he goes, "What color?"
This part, but that's not even the part that made me pause and find the timestamp to send you. Because, okay, so Caleb hands her a burner phone. She types this message.
Oh, yeah.
Did you miss me? Love, Holly. And she holds it up.
She's so proud of this. It's like when you're sitting with your girls, you're like, okay, I got it. This is what we're sending. It's like, sup. You know? It's like,
yeah. They send it. It was like the perfect amount of punctuation. She holds it up to the girls and they're like, okay. And then she looks at Caleb and he's looking at her like,
I know.
Send it. he nods up.
He's acting
and then,
like they're in the lab.
Guys, the look on Spencer's face when she shows it to Caleb, she's like,
I know. It's as if they know something the other girls don't. Like, they're babysitting. They're letting Emily and Aria tag along. But it's like, look, I'll show you what it is. But he gets it.
It's like, also like Spencer thinks that what they're doing is hot. Like,
yeah,
she
thinks
like,
that they are criminal masterminds right now. She's like, we should open our own PI business to Caleb. Like, that's...
Well, she has other business ideas for Caleb.
So Spencer's not sure if she's going to go to the trial. Obviously, her mother was threatening her this morning.
Spencer, back up. They're also sitting really close together.
That is true. And then, then Spencer goes, I have to go do something. Which, if I'm in this friend group, that's not an appropriate way to leave. I'm like, what is something? What? What? Anything you can say to me, you can say in front of my peeps. What is something, Spencer? Especially if she's the one saying it. She goes, I have to go do something. Gets up and like touches Caleb's shoulder on her way out. No way. No fucking way.
Tapped out.
No way.
And if that wasn't enough to upset like someone like Aria, this next part will be, because guess where Spencer's going? She's going to talk to Jason, and that's kind of Aria's thing.
Yeah, that. Oh, and just wait until Aria figures out who else has been kind of macking on Aria's thing. Jason. She is not. She's going to have words for Ashley Barron. I couldn't believe Aria's reaction in the courtroom later on. She goes, are
and
you
also,
fucking kidding
also,
me?
Hey, Aria, you knew about this.
Yes. Wait, I forgot.
Aria just wanted to act like a scorned woman in the courtroom.
Oh my God, wait, that's so funny. I need to go rewatch this scene now because
she's acting like she
doesn't
know.
Have to say that. She doesn't have to say, are you guys hearing this? Or like whatever she
doesn't know. I think she goes,
can this be true?
Is he saying what I think he's saying? Something like that.
Sorry, you're right. It's something way more like Disney Channel coded like that for sure. I don't know what it is, but it's crazy. So
Spencer approaches Jason and goes, I left you messages.
He's like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you. I think, sis, I've never wanted to talk to you. He said, last time I listened to you, I got put down as a prosecution witness. Like, I'm good. And then Spencer, like, sees over the corner of her, out of the corner of her eye, that Kendi is walking up like a man.
Guys,
on
Ken is
fire.
The most.
And Spencer's like, oh, God, we need to talk about how Ally isn't guilty. Like, she gets, like, pulled away.
And I'm like, okay, are you guys actually have siblings through him? Because, like, he's the angriest man in America.
He is giving angry
every
dad
time
and Spencer
we see him. Every time we see Ken, like, do you remember when he was so mad at Hannah for telling Jess
yeah,
that
he's
she
always
which
mad.
when Hannah did make an insane mistake of telling Jess D that she saw her dead daughter.
True, but you know, hey, you know what? Who ended up being right? Let's get an apology for Hannah Marin, please. Thank
hey,
you.
Allie wasn't there, though. Allie
I
was
know,
not
but
actually
she was
there
alive.
Then.
It's like, the whole thing was like, how could you tell her that her daughter's alive when she's not? It's like, well, she is. So I'll take the apology. I'll take the apology on Hannah's behalf.
Ken's furious, and he says, hey, we might be neighbors for the moment, but in case you forgot, your house is the one with that big gate and fence around it. Stay over
big
there.
Big gate and the wall. Stay on the other side of it. What do you mean
wall?
Like,
okay, the wall can't be that intense because Jason comes right over through the backyard and, later in the episode.
And wait until you hear what Allie used to do, Ken. Yeah, like it ain't that intense. So my jaw fully dropped at Aria's outfit. I had seen Beetlejuice vibes in the beginning when she was sitting.
I wrote Beetlejuice too.
Well, that is the only way to describe it. She's wearing an insanely Beetlejuice-esque
and
maxi
I thought
dress
it,
or dress or maxi
I,
skirt. I don't
I
know.
Thought it. I think it's a skirt. I thought it when she was sitting in the Hastings castle, uh-huh. And then somehow they made it
way
more
worse.
Beetlejuice.
So Phoebe and I both clock this. Both write it down. Apparently, when we see her in the beginning, she's not wearing a jacket at that time. She's wearing a jacket this
should've
time.
Stayed
you
that
guys.
Way.
Oh my
God!
It is a bomber, a pink bomber jacket with like psychedelic cats all over it. It's actually like if somebody would write down like what's Caroline, what's like the worst outfit you could ever recommend for Caroline, it's probably that.
Literally. Except you would have worn that skirt.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have worn that one. Something a little bit less Beetlejuice maybe, but I think I would have thought that one was too much.
Aria goes to see Andrew and they're talking, and this is where I wrote Aria, no way this outfit, because it truly is
horrific.
Shocking. Andrew says to a girl, and listen, I'm not one to defend Aria, but Andrew says to a girl whose two best friends, her one estranged best friend and her one of her current best friends, were just put in jail for murdering someone who like tormented and stalked her. Uh-huh. She's a lot going on right now. And Andrew says to this girl, you've been hard to find. Give her a break.
Yeah, but
she's been busy.
Okay, I actually thought you weren't going to go where you went with that. Because I'm like, she has been ignoring him. Like, she has been ignoring him. Maybe. I don't know.
They're not dating yet. She just broke up with Ezra.
Okay, but he does not know that.
They barely kissed.
They did not barely kiss.
They had one kiss. They did not make out. It was one kiss.
Well, that's what we saw.
It was sensual.
I saw an open mouth kiss. Okay. And that means something. Andrew, though, like, I think.
To some of us, means something.
I think there's just, Andrew is just, did he kill Mona? Like, because if he killed Mona, smart
this is
Andrew,
such a pivot. This is a massive
actually
pivot.
I never could have seen it coming.
The writers really didn't ease into this at all, which I guess they did because but we've been getting regular Andrew.
Not, but like, because they don't know what easing into something is, because we've just been getting Smart Andrew, and that's who Smart Andrew's been. He's wanted to join the clique. I've known that. But this is like this. It's like when we started getting the Sinister Ezra edits. And it was like, exactly. Okay, where has this been? Like, it's been like, it's actually like the SNL sketch, My Best Friend's House, The Smell of My Best Friend's House. Did you see
yes.
that one?
Yes.
Where like when you watch it back the second time, you see all the disturbing things. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And first he's like asking about Mike, and then Aria locks into flirt mode. She turns on her doe eyes. And can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. These just made a noise. She starts flirting anyway. Then Andrew takes a turn in the conversation.
Andrew loses his mind.
She asks how he is.
Mid-convo.
She asks, "How are you, Andrew?" And he says, "Tired of memorializing Mona."
Holy shit. He's like, "I don't think she's a saint, okay? And she didn't win anything by herself. She wasn't aggressive. She was vicious. She intellectually kneecapped plenty of kids. We're lucky she didn't go to college and decide to run for president." So you heard that, right?
Saying we're lucky she didn't make it to college.
Aria goes, are you saying the world's better without Mona in it? And he's like, okay, you're twisting my words.
But yeah, basically.
He's like, I mean, I guess. It's not really what I said, but I guess. Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey. And they're not just listening. They're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors, the rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors. Which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Okay, y'all are always asking us for travel recommendations, especially for our favorite city, Charleston, South Carolina. and we found the perfect place for all road warriors to stay. The Fulton Lane Inn is a peaceful, tranquil retreat located in the heart of downtown Charleston. The inn features the natural beauty, warm hospitality, and cozy comforts of the Lowcountry, all just steps from the energy and excitement of King Street. Whether you're exploring the city's historical landmarks, enjoying southern eats and drinks, or dancing the night away, Fulton Lane Inn offers a perfect blend of serenity and convenience. I was lucky enough to stay there during my most recent trip to Charleston, and honestly, I cannot wait to go back. They host an evening wine and cheese reception at their sister property next door. They offer evening sherry, breakfast delivered to your bedroom, a 24-hour concierge, and our room even had a working fireplace, which set the perfect mood for my cozy evening PLL rewatch. You've heard us talk about Southern hospitality, Road Warriors, but if you want to truly experience it for yourself, Fulton Lane Inn is the place to stay. Book your stay today at FultonLaneInn.com and be sure to let them know the Pretty Little Podcast sent you. Again, that's FultonLaneInn.com, where Charleston feels like home.
So it's pouring in Rosewood for some reason, and Emily has to shut her freaking window. So she shuts it. And she gets a phone call. And actually, how funny is it that at this point in Emily's life, anytime she gets a phone call and it says this is a call from the Chester Women's Correctional Facility, she still won't know who it is. Like, that's so funny. It still could be one of two people. Like, she still needs to wait to hear their
name.
Like,
okay, is this the only way that Allie knows how to say her name? Because in jail, you say your name freshly every time. It's not like you walk into jail and they pre-record your name. You say, Allison, so Allie is fully calling her wife and is like gritting her teeth into the phone at first. And then Em answers the phone and she goes, hey, Em.
It's bizarre. She's like, I'm just like feeling sad.
Allison De Laurentiis.
She's a growl. Emily's like, Allie, you'll be fine. And Allie's like, okay, well, will you be at the trial tomorrow? I know, but like, what do you say? Like, okay. And Allie's like, or Emily says she'll try. And Allie says, you'll try.
You'll try?
And then Emily's like, I'll be there.
I promise.
And then they just like talk about, is it raining? And then they go to bed. It's like the weirdest phone call.
And then this is where we get the weird thing. Well, they needed to set up this moment.
We did not because this moment.
This entire shot where we are in the rain looking through Emily's window. Watching Emily, and then we zoom into just the window pane, so Emily's now out of focus. And then the rain on the window pane slowly turns into the shower at the women's correctional facility.
The open stall shower where Allison's being watched as she showers.
And like, was this a necessary detail?
Oh my God.
At all?
They're like, we just want to expose prison life. Like, okay, maybe you don't do it on Pretty Little Liars.
We have
a
New Black for that. And then Allie's staring at herself in this tiny little mirror.
Allie's like pretending she's in a music video, like being watched.
This fades into her looking at her reflection in the table in the courtroom. And by the way, this entire time, some kind of like AWOL Nation song is playing.
Yes, that's what I was talking about, you guys, about the melody lingering on a little bit too long. It was this one. So then she's like dressed in court. They bring in all the jurors. Like, I'm half expecting us to fully see like Cyrus or like somebody we know, but we didn't. Cindy and Mindy showed up, of course.
I feel like her look, I don't know the timing. It's either based on Michelle Carter's courtroom looks.
Oh my God.
Or Michelle Carter based her looks on Allison De Laurentiis.
I do see what you're saying here. And Allie also has fresh highlights. And I'm like, good for you. Good for the Chester Correctional Facility for having someone who can do highlights.
That's what she's been using like her money on that she makes.
Literally. Like, you know, she's like, I need money. I don't have any money, you guys. I've been spending it. I don't want to tell you on what. So Aria.
They're like, we can see.
Yeah, like, we know your highlights look bad. Aria and Emily show up, and at first Allie is like overjoyed to see them, and then she realizes Spencer's not there, and she like sneers.
I'm like, okay. I thought that was a little much. Also, all the girls sans Allie, like when the core four roll up to court, or okay, sans Hannah too. When Spencer, Aria, and Emily show up to court, spoiler alert, Spencer ends up breaking her mom's forbidtation. And...
For
forbidden? What would the noun be?
Oh my God. For forbidden? What her mother forbade her from doing?
I know, but there should be a noun for that.
Transgression?
No, I never mind. You don't get it. I love all their courtroom books.
What is happening? Okay, why don't you break down the looks then, Faye?
No, I just think they all look good. They're all in like, they're like in good
Aria's
business
casual. Aria's in a bodycon like dress.
I wasn't really talking about Aria. I couldn't tell you what
so
Aria
by
wore.
The way, guys, still only Aria and Emily have made it in here. So if she's not talking about Aria, I guess she means she likes Emily's outfit, which you could have just
Emily's
said.
Outfit is good and Spencer's outfit is good later.
Okay. So the prosecutor approaches the jury and he says, remember high school. Everything is magnified beyond proportion.
Oh, so this is the defense. No, this is the prosecutor.
Thank you. Threats must be dealt with quickly and without remorse. You're going to hear stories about how she was held in captivity for 2 years, escaped, and was helped by her friends. None of it happened. This epic tale of abduction and escape is a lie perpetuated by the friends who saved her. Oh my God.
I completely forgot that wasn't common knowledge. And I literally wrote down when this happened. I was like, because after this, they're on the phone with Spencer and they're like, can you believe they knew that the kidnapping was fake? And I was like, wasn't that like,
I did think it was more
there's
common
a reason
knowledge.
Cyrus isn't in jail.
But yeah. I think,
but I, then I guess it's like, it's because Allie didn't identify him. So he got to go away.
Yes.
So it was never actually confirmed that it was fake.
Well, and wasn't
which
it like,
I guess that would absolutely rattle the town. That would absolutely send shivers down the town's spine figuring that
but
out.
I am also like, well, don't you need to prove that now, like, dude?
Yeah,
you know,
are you
like,
making this
the jury?
I think you've got
gonna,
enough
like,
of a case
it. Like, I don't know,
you got enough of a case here, I feel like, to make it seem like Allie did it.
So
we have video footage.
He holds up a photo of Mona and he says she knew the truth, that this abduction tale was a lie. She had the power to destroy the story, and that's why Allison planned and carried out the murder of Mona Vanderwaal, co-signing her to a cruel anonymous end. Consigning, not co-signing.
And no.
And then it's
Ari's
going to
make it about her. Because Ari's on the phone with Spencer, and she's like, Spencer, if they know about this, they're going to know about New York.
It
and I'm like, okay, not your trial. They're not going to bring up another. They're not going
to
bring up another murder in this murder case.
No, they'll just do a
when
whole.
You're not even.
And Aria's like, and good, because you know what? I'd finally like to have my own thing. So Spencer's like, well, I think the cops like must have talked to Cyrus. I don't know. We find out Mike is in Harrisburg, so he's away from all this. And then Ken D confronts the girls. He thinks that they talked Allie into telling this like fake abduction story, which is seems like a reach, especially if you know your daughter at all, Ken, but okay. So court has adjourned for the day and Allie has to go back to work in the laundry room. And I do have to say, it seems a little bit irresponsible that we also have Hannah Marin placed in the laundry room. I feel like these two girls would be a major liability to have in the same area, and Phoebe is running back in the room to comment on this because she agrees.
You're right. I thought that was crazy too. Also, Caroline just made me laugh so hard that I had to go blow my nose.
Wait, really? Oh my God, I thought you just like spilled or something. That's awesome.
No.
That is so cool. You guys didn't hear it, but it did happen. So Hannah asks Allison for information on the phone number, whatever, and Allie basically says the phone number's real. And that Allie was texting someone. She was trying to figure out who it was because they were communicating via lines from the book Goodnight Moon in the newspaper. Because that's what like Allie's mom would
Hannah,
read to her.
Hannah
and she's
goes,
like, how would
Hannah
anyone
goes,
know that? It's like the most popular kids book.
Hannah goes, I know that one.
It's like, I fucking hope you do, Hannah. Everyone knows that one. That's so funny. But Hannah's like, why wouldn't you tell us that you were like texting someone? And Allie says she wanted to protect the girls. I'm like, kind of like, okay. But she said whoever it was knew who killed my mother and that she thinks the texts were coming from Mona because they stopped when Mona was killed. So she doesn't think the phone number belongs to A. She thought the phone belonged to Mona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. I'm also
bored.
Well,
we know it's not true. We know it's not true because of later.
Well, yes, but not yet. We go to the Hastings Castle and Vivi goes, so Aria and Emily are at the courtroom today. And Spencer goes, well, if you heard that, you must have heard that I wasn't there.
Ooh. We find out.
And then Spencer's like, Mom. And this is low-key Lily behavior.
Oh.
She goes, and Mom, don't you want to know if I knew about Allie's fake kidnapping?
That is Lily behavior. And she says, no, I don't, because I'm telling you, you didn't.
Ooh.
Okay, so Caleb is visiting Hannah, and Hannah says that she thinks Allie's scared. She actually is, like, really worried about Allie now, more so than for herself. And, like, the theme of Hannah in the whole show, but especially this episode, is just, like, she'll be strong for the people around mm-hmm. her. They don't need to, like, she's like, I can handle this for all of us. And she tells Caleb there's nothing she can't handle, but she wants Caleb to, like, go away. And she says she can manage as long as he's safe.
She's like, I can tell Allie's scared, like, in her eyes. And he goes, what's going on behind your eyes? And she says, oh, snakes, spiders, flying monkeys. Nothing I can't handle.
Oh, and he, like, wants to get her out. And she's like, look, I don't want you to promise that. I just want you to promise that you're going to get out. And I don't think he's going to really be able to do that.
Then we go to the brew and we talk about this fucking phone number again with Aria, Emily, and Spencer. And Caleb is like, really... And guys, I just remembered what scene this is. Aria is the most annoying person on the planet. Because, and it's almost like whoever does have this phone number wanted to watch this play out because they thought it would be funny.
Yes.
Because they call Aria's phone. And Aria's like, guys.
Why me?
Why would they call me?
I know.
I never called them. How they have my phone
Little
number?
Little old me? Seriously? It's always me.
And Caleb's had it.
Caleb had it. Snatches the phone out of her hands and opens. And
Aria gives him a dirty look.
Yeah. She's like pissed. And it's just this fucking French song playing. So then they call Hannah to play it for her.
I need the writers to understand that
I don't speak
everybody
French.
Everybody watching the show doesn't speak French.
I'm with you on that because there's literally Emily like reads something in French. They don't translate
it
for us.
And
Spencer just says
down.
Your pronunciation's getting better.
And we don't get to see it written.
If Spencer hadn't said that, I wouldn't have been sure it was French. And I would have probably had to rewind to be like, what the fuck is she saying?
And I probably should have put subtitles on. I didn't. Yeah, they're at Caleb's apartment and they're playing the song. And
they're playing it for Hannah.
Hannah goes, I know what that means. And then she's like, okay, wait. I don't know what it means. I just know that I've heard it played in Mona's room. And then she says whoever, and this is like, okay, Spencer needs this dynamic with someone. And I think she's barking up the wrong tree with who she's picking. Because Emily or Hannah says the name of whoever does this French
song.
She
says Edith
and Aria,
Pilaf.
And then Aria says, like the rice dish. And Spencer may as well slap Aria across the face and go, no, the singer.
No. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yes.
No, because Hannah says Edith Pilaf, and Aria says like the rice dish, and Spencer goes no, Pilaf. The girl's name is Edith Pilaf, not Pilaf, like rice Pilaf.
No, I know. I'm not saying it was said, but I'm saying that she's correcting Aria in that moment.
She's actually like not correcting anyone. She's like, she's saying like, no, Hannah got it wrong to Aria. Cause Aria's like, Aria can't figure out what Hannah fucking means because Aria's a bitch. And Aria has to be like, Edith Pilaf, like the rice thing, like what? And Spencer's like, Edith Pilaf. Hannah doesn't know the real name. And then, you know, Aria's like, oh, okay. That's what happened there. That is what happened. Cause that's a person, a real person. Hannah says it wrong. Aria hears her say it wrong, comments on it. Okay, you like don't believe me though. You think I'm like making. Like,
I do believe you. It doesn't matter. We talk about how A was taunting Allie. It wasn't Mona. I guess.
Yeah, because it couldn't have possibly been Mona. Because if Mona's dead, Mona's not gonna call on the phone right now and play the song. So that's how they know it's A.
Yes. And so they want to go back to Mona's room because they're like, the police searched it and never found the tape that Hannah found in the book. So they think that they can find some more stuff. And they know Mona's mom isn't at the trial. So they're like, well, surely she's in an emotional state to let these three girls connected to her daughter's murder in. to search her room. Yeah. And Arya volunteers because she says, quote, I'm the least intimidating. And this is when Caleb takes a risk.
Yeah. He asks Spencer to stay back. He's like, Spence? And I thought they were going to like stay back to actually do like top secret agent business or something like that. But they're literally just having tea and cookies, which I think is inappropriate. They're curled up. Well, she's on the couch. He's on a chair. And they're just like eating tea and cookies. And then he tells Spencer that Hannah told him to leave and that he thinks she meant that for all of them, including Spencer. But he won't even think about it. And Spencer says something that will have me scratching my head until I fall asleep tonight and tomorrow and the next day. She says, when all this is done and we're all safe and sound, we need to talk about bottling you. Essence of best boyfriend will make a fortune.
And thankfully,
you have a boyfriend, Spencer.
And thankfully, in this moment, one of them remembers that.
Yeah.
Because Caleb says, so how's Toby? And Spencer does not want to talk about Toby.
They haven't even talked since she's been back, which is crazy. So Arya gets back in Emily's car. Mona's mom did not answer the door. And I don't even know what they're talking about. They're just like, I don't know what they say. I don't really get it. I don't know what I wrote.
Arya wants to give up and go shopping, and Emily's like, not yet, but it's unclear if they have an idea. But
well,
we
Arya
do
is
see
kidding.
That someone. I wasn't getting that sense. I mean, think she's being serious.
No. She gives a look. She says, do you just want to give up and go shopping? And Emily looks at her for a second, and Arya goes, like she's joking. Like the face is to be like, I'm joking.
Yeah, but I think she was kind of trying to get a sense of whether they could actually give up. I think she was ready to call it.
Maybe
call it quits on that. And then we see that someone's kind of maybe looking at them from Mona's room, but we don't know yet. And then we go to the Hastings castle, and Spencer's outside reading the newspaper about the trial, and Jason comes by to, at first he seems nice,
yeah,
to apologize for Ken. And then he's like, you knew she'd come this way because there's always been so much traffic
like
between our two houses.
Through their yard, like come the way that he came. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Spencer feels really bad about letting Allie get put in jail and like setting her up. And that's why he's like, I think he like remembers that he's mad at Spencer when he walks into her yard, because he's like, oh, this is how Allie got in here, and Spencer must have known that she could get in this way, and that's how she told the police to be here, and that's how Allie got put in jail. And he feels really, really, really bad about letting Allie run, because the only reason he let her run is because he thought, right, maybe she did it, and he was trying to like let her go. And Spencer goes on this big rant about how like she can be really certain about things, and she likes being certain, and she doesn't do well with gray places, and there's someone out there that knows that about me. And Jason says something that I'm thinking, yeah, no one fucking likes gray places. Like, that's not special. It doesn't mean like they've got you figured out, Spencer. It's pretty normal. And they all like basically, Spencer and Jason both admit to each other and themselves that they don't think Allie killed anyone. And now Jason has to testify tomorrow.
Yes. Then in the morning, Spencer is acting like her going to trial is the equivalent of her running away from home, because she comes downstairs dressed for trial with a letter to leave on the counter. And then Vivi walks in and she's like, if I hadn't spent those few minutes writing this letter, I would have gotten away.
I just don't know why she had to write the letter, because like, couldn't you just go to school?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why she wrote a letter at all.
Like, why? In my mind, it's like, what if her mom saw she wasn't at home? She might think Spencer was at the trial, but it's like, she's a student.
I agree. And Vivi forbids her from going, and Spencer can't believe she used the word forbid.
Well, I can't believe they play this entire video of Mona being murdered in court while Jason is questioned. And basically, Jason like goes against everything he was saying before, where he was like, I think Allie did it, blah, blah, blah. Now he's like, no, I don't think Allie did it. I don't think he's the person in that video. In fact, I'm certain it could not have been her. And the prosecution then brings up Hannah Marin,
And this is where things get fucking crazy. We get an objection from Rebecca, and he's like, the prosecutor's trying to find something to explain why Jason would have changed his stance and now be saying that Ali did not kill Mona, because beforehand, Jason was supposed to be like a key witness for the prosecutors. So bringing up Hannah Marin means that he can then bring up Ashley Marin, and Ashley Marin is in the court, and he has Jason point her out, then asks if she works for him and if they ever met outside of the office socially, and if they were, if their meetings could be described as intimate. And then said, did anything happen with the attractive woman to influence you changing your testimony? That is fucking crazy.
They really do a brilliant job of making you feel like you are Ashley Marin in this moment when they make him point her out and then the camera puts you in Ashley's chair.
Yeah.
And then pans to everybody turning in their seat to look at Ashley.
But, you know, it's good terrible. For her. She did get a compliment.
That's true.
I mean, shouldn't forget
it. And you got to take what you can get. But Aria may as well have stood up and screamed.
Maybe that's why Aria is so mad, is because Aria didn't get a compliment.
Yes.
That and her, of course.
Well, it's also like Aria's like, you couldn't have brought me into this. I Aria's like, wait, Jason, and I'm also friends with Hannah.
She stands up. She says, objection. Jace. Jason. When did you meet with Ashley? Because what about our thing? You know, she's like, I just want to make sure that the timelines here are correct, because we might have more than just one woman scorned here. And yeah, I'm talking about Mona, the woman scorned. There might be another case we need to investigate here too. The case of a broken heart.
We go outside the courtroom. And basically, I think you said this. They're getting Jason to admit his affair with Ashley, so that's why he would have said it was Ali before and not Hannah. So we go outside the courtroom.
This is where I like completely forgot also that Aria knew about the whole Ashley Jason thing, because because of that whole like show she put on in the courtroom. But then also we get out here, Emily's like, do you think Hannah knew? Aria's like, she did.
And it seems from the looks of it like A did too. And I'm like, from the looks of it, what about from your own personal experience?
Aria, shut
when
up.
You knew this for certain. And
so then since Aria can't even freaking look at Jason right now, hurts too bad, Spencer's like, okay, hey, big bro. And she like runs up to Jason and he's like, Spencer, don't call me big bro here. And she's like, I'm your sister. It's what I do. But
and this is after Ken like screamed at Jason. We don't hear what Ken says, but he like yells at this poor short female lawyer. Rebecca keeps having to get between this 7-foot-tall man and whoever he's angry at in that second, because she's like, Ken, just leave. And then we find out that he told Jason that he needs to find somewhere else to sleep tonight.
Yeah, he's not going to be welcome in their house. And so he tells Spencer this, and she's like, well, you know, like, call me. And she turns around as Aria and Emily come up, and they're like, what did he say? And Spencer does not tell them what he said. She says, the truth will set you free, but first it turns you inside out. Okay, that is literally not what he said. That's not what he said, but okay. So they're going to go to Mona's house, and we'll see what happens there.
Then we go to the Marin Manor, and Ted and Ashley are talking, and Ashley's like, you're right, I shouldn't have gone. And Ted says, actually, I think it was good that you were there, I guess. But then Ashley's like, Ted, you can go.
Well, his
and
phone,
he's so sweet.
His phone starts ringing, and he stops it, and she's like I'm sure every time the phone rings, she's like, great, like another person that you're going to have to explain this to, because unfortunately, like, they're in this public relationship, so... She's like, well, you're going to have to talk to people soon, because like soon this is going to be on the fucking news. And so she's giving him permission to walk out, because this is not what he signed up for, even though he says, yes, it is.
Yeah, he just says that he made a promise and he intends to keep it. But Ashley keeps pressing the issue. And then he says, I'll just finish my coffee.
But
it's unclear.
I'm confused. Does he not know like what actually happened? Because he says here, like, she says that she doesn't want to hold him to this promise. And he's like, no, like, I made a promise. I forgave you, whatever. And she says, what's the point of forgiveness if you don't know what really happened? And he said, it's about a clean slate. And she says, there's no such thing. So does he not know, like, what actually, like, is this going to come out now?
Oh, whoa.
I wonder if he, like, know. I can't remember. But I'm wondering if he was like, I don't think want, like, don't
it.
Tell
I thought
me.
That maybe. I don't know. We never really got any details. We go to Mona's house. And again, they're at a house of a girl who was brutally murdered. And we don't really know what the state of her mom is. And they are banging on this door.
I mean, screaming.
Screaming. And it's locked. And it doesn't look like anybody's in there. So I think they just need to take the hint and leave.
It's not locked. Spencer just obviously doesn't want to go in there that bad.
No, the first time it is locked because one of them is like opening it and jamming it in and out. And then they give up. And they go to the car, and then out of Mona's room, the window's open now, they hear the French song, and then Emily goes back up to the porch. Now the door is unlocked, and they start running upstairs, and they go into Mona's room, and it's, like, completely ransacked.
Yeah.
Completely
everything is just, like, destroyed. The dolls' heads are, like, popped off, and Emily goes to turn the record player off and finds a note that's been, like, smushed into one of the doll heads. She pulls it out and it says, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, and then something in French, and your guess is as good as mine.
We literally have no idea what it is. If you guys know, let us know.
Aria,
but Spencer says she said it well.
Aria, for the first time in her entire life, is like,
literally.
Okay, well, I have an idea. A good one. She's like, just because we found this note and, like, they said they found something, it doesn't mean that they did. Like, why are we just believing them? And I am like, that's a good point. And so Emily says to think like Mona, which Aria is not interested in doing. But Spencer's going to be really good at this. I low-key feel like it's like Harry and Voldemort. You know what I mean? Like, one cannot live while the other survives. Like, they each have a part of each other's soul in their body. Like, that is what this
within
feels like.
Within like a millisecond,
I mean,
Spencer
it's the first
found
thing
something that I like literally in a million. If this was an escape room and there were basically instructions pointing me to find this mirror and open it, I couldn't do it.
No
I would not have ever in a million years dreamt of doing this. She opens this like handheld mirror and finds a note card in it. And again, even if I did find it and open it, this would be useless to me. I would not know what it means at all.
Yeah. It says on the card in the hand mirror, it says, chandeliers, rituals, sister launched air lair, a ruler's list chained. So it makes no fucking sense. And then we see outside of Mona's house that smart Andrew is watching. So, like, I'm sorry, did he put on a blonde wig and kill Mona? And then did he go do all of this and, like, whatever? And the girls leave, and then we see that a window was also broken in Mona's house. But this is confusing.
And there's a screwdriver.
I know, but this is confusing to me. Why is the window broken in that one little spot?
I didn't get it either.
Like, it's not even like that was a door. Like, I was like, oh, you would break it in one spot so you could reach in and, like, unlock the door, but that it's a window.
And I also don't know how.
What does a screwdriver have to do with anything?
I also don't know how the screwdriver landed the way that it did. If they broke the window with that, the screwdriver is, like, stuck in the floor.
Yeah.
Pointed the opposite direction that it would have been had they used that to break the window. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. So Aria and Emily go to the brew. Emily's going to go change. And Andrew is here too because he's fucking everywhere because he's dying to be part of the clique. And he approaches Aria and he says he feels weird about what he said about Mona. And I'm like, oh, did you feel weird before you saw Aria break into her house or after? Like, is that when you're like, oh, wait, ooh, does Aria have something weird going on with the deceased? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, is that what tipped you off and confused? She says, it's just my face. Sometimes it does things without checking with me first. Give me a break.
She's so annoying. But that's actually a line that could have been straight out of another Cinderella story with Selena Gomez.
Correct.
And he kisses her on the cheek, basically, and is like, I'll call you. And
she jumps
Aria's like
10
okay,
feet in the air. When
didn't
he
ask
her.
You to kiss me on the cheek.
Literally. He's like, oh, I guess your face did that thing again where it just does something it's you like, don't okay. even know it's doing. She's like, sure.
Andrew, that is a context clue. We go to the jail and Ashley and Hannah are apologizing to each other. And this is just a really sweet scene.
Hannah is so altogether. Sweet. Ashley's apologizing to her, and Hannah says, you're saying sorry for what? For being human? I'm sorry for giving you such a hard time, and whatever happens, we will be okay. And Ashley's like, I'm supposed to be saying that to you. And that's just, Hannah is just going to be the rock for everybody because that's who she is. And then she makes a joke. She says she might write a book because lots of people write books in prison, like Martha Stewart. Oh, wait. And then she, I also wrote this down.
This is the best line.
She says, well, did you want to say it?
No, I don't have it all written down.
She says to Ashley, I hope I got all your DNA in me. That means I'll be smart and I'll be brave and I'll sing my daughter the best lullabies when she's scared. Oh,
which also, Hannah bringing up her future daughter is like,
oh, I know.
Even though she's like kind of acting like she's
not
lost hope,
and not
like
future,
not in like a pessimistic way, but like,
well, if she wanted to be pessimistic about it, like, I think she's earned it.
No, I agree, but she's not the when she talks about the way that when she talks about how she's lost hope, it doesn't come off as like this woe is me thing. Yeah. It's like for people around her, and this is the first time she's talked about the future.
Yes. So we go to Allie and Jason then having a discussion, and she explains to Jason that lying is a one-way street and you can't go back on it. And she uses like a perfect analogy, actually, like when you're in a parking garage or something and you like go forward and it's fine. But if you back up, the spikes will like pop all your tires. Like you, it's a one-way. And so she's like, it's going to be very hard for me to win them back now. And Jason offers to help, and Allie actually, I mean, this is pretty selfless for Allie. And it's like the first time we've seen her not be selfish when she's like, no, I don't want your help. I want you to get out. You need to leave now.
And Jason tells Allie for the first time, really, that he believes her and that she didn't do it.
Oh, but you're the Hastings Castle. But she also, we have to acknowledge, she also takes a little bit of accountability, which we never see. She says, no, I didn't kill anyone, but I let a lot of things happen that I shouldn't have, which I think is important. Like, we need to hear these little moments, because in the next two seasons, I'm supposed to be rooting for her. So, like, if they are here, I need to pay attention to them.
Exactly. We go to the Hastings Castle, and Spencer is sitting by the fire reading a book, and Vivi comes in. Walks past Spencer, glares at her, and walks out.
Glare doesn't even feel like strong enough of a word. Like, it is this death glare that is consistent. She does not blink. She stares at her from the moment she steps foot into the house to the moment she walks into the other room. And Spencer says nothing. I mean, you could cut the tension
it's
with a knife.
It's the kind of look that if mom or dad looked at me like that, I would burst into tears.
I would burst into flames. I would incinerate. I would be a pile of ashes. Like, horrible, horrible. But I'm also just like, these two queens, like, work. They're so crazy together.
And she's looking at the riddle. And, like, thank God we have Spencer. Loki could maybe do it.
This is Spencer's dream night. Curled up by the fire. She's got a book, but she's actually got a riddle she's solving. But nobody else knows that. And she's fighting with her mom. So, like, this is Spencer's prime night.
Oh, it's perfect.
Night. She loves tension.
We go... When she wakes up looking super refreshed, this is the exact dream that she had.
Yes.
We go to the brew and Emily's closing up.
Hey, quick
and
question.
She like wipes.
Does Talia just gone? Like, we're just never going to hear about her again? Or like.
Yeah, well, she.
she didn't really like get a goodbye.
No.
There was that whole thing where like they almost gave that pageant woman hell for like. You won't let me compete because of my girlfriend. And now she's just gone. They weren't even like, that was like the last time you guys ever hung out.
And also, and if that, I'm honest, we don't really hear about the pageant again either.
Perfect. I'm glad we got that dance scene. I mean, no, really, I am glad we got it. I mean that.
So she's wiping down like the secret machine and then she sits down. And she's like,
you guys remember the secret machine, right?
It was in the recap.
Okay, good.
The secret machine. And... she sits down and she's listening to these secrets and it's just like a bunch of like Stranger Things.
One of them is awesome. One of them is, my boobs are like a complete joke. Okay.
Why is that drama coded?
My boobs are like a complete joke. When are my boobs? Hey, mama, when are my boobs coming in? He keeps asking that. I'm like, drama, they're not. What? Hey, mama, for my sixth birthday, can I get a boob job? Drama, we'll talk about it later.
Is he counting down the sleeps till Halloween?
Well, of course, even though I get to wear my Dorothy Gale costume literally whenever I want. Because everyone says, oh, you look so darling. What they don't know is that actually what cunty. I'm sorry. Not going to say that word again. I know. We talked about that word. I know. I'll go to my quote.
Is he excited for the neighbors? I know Chuck's not.
Tom, are you excited for the neighbors? Hell no. No, that's my yard out there, and I take care of it with Chuck. And if there's someone else footing in my security, that's going to be a big problemo. Okay, like my stink all in these pots. Only my stink and Chuck's stink. And that's it. All the stink we need. Okay, bye, drama.
Okay, so so she's listening to all these other secrets, and then the French song starts to play. And I'm jumping out of my chair, shrieking, absolutely not finishing my closing duties. I'm out of there.
No, I know. Well, then they did something that was not clear, because then Emily like sits up away from it and the song keeps going. So I was like, wait, so is I wasn't like sure if it was like the here? Show. And but then it was the show, because it's playing in the, there's kind of like a two-parter A scene. But wait, before we get to the A scene, can I just say something that if I'm Emily, I am like, okay, I have to go call the police. Because one of these secrets was also the dog didn't run away. I left the gate open on purpose. So
okay,
actually,
Scott Peterson.
I know
okay,
there's
Scott
like,
Peterson.
Yeah, no, for real. I know there's like a trial going on with like my future wife, but there's also an animal abuser in the neighborhood, and we need to get on that. Toby, you know what? I have a case Toby Kavanaugh can definitely solve.
Literally, she's like, hey, Toby, I feel like this is right up your
alley.
She's
like, Spencer, I fixed everything. Toby feels important at work. He's dealing with that. You and I can deal with this. You guys can be back. It's all fixed.
So we're at this like evidence lab, and they're examining the screwdriver from earlier.
How do they get that
and
already?
It's from, that's what I'm saying. Andrew.
I mean, it would have to be, I guess, but I feel like Andrew put it there.
Literally. And it's from the ice cream factory. Can you guys believe that? That means one of their freaking fingerprints is on there. Guarantee it.
Wait, but also, I'm sorry. Why on earth is it called Boo Boos, and why didn't I know that?
I don't know, because I think we did know that.
I would remember. So then we have our A scene.
And it's like a clown. There's like a clown on the logo.
Actually, it would have to be.
Remember when what's her name found the rat? Emily?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, thanks.
You blocked it out.
Then A is paper shredding like all of Paul Varjak's documents. So I guess it's a real person.
And the stuff.
Including the social security card.
And the stuff from Neelan's law firm.
Yes. And then using it as a birdcage filler for Tippy the bird, who's back. Apparently.
He's freaking back.
All right. So I'm going to read our synopsis for next week. So season 5, episode 24, which is the
penultimate episode.
Okay. Well, you might have beat me to Burskalina, but I beat you to penultimate for once. For once of the fifth season. Allison's trial is coming to a close. That was quick. And the outcome looks even more bleak when the prosecution calls a surprise witness that not only paints Allison in a bad light, but also the PLLs and Mike. It's Mona, isn't it?
Imagine.
I knew she was alive.
She comes back for her trial. A key witness in her own murder
that
trial.
That would be so iconic. Actually, that is what happens. Now I know that's what happens. I would love
it's probably
that.
A plot line in Riverdale.
And I'm sold on Riverdale again. All right, guys, that is season 5, episode 23. Kind of crazy.
It was a quick episode.
But it was a quick episode. This was a shorter episode than typical.
Except it did take me forever to watch.
Me too, because the Situation Room group chat was absolutely going haywire.
Oh, that's true.
So our fingers were busy.
I had to find a picture of
Chevron. I had to keep pausing.
Amber did text us and say, wait, because we were talking about Gen Z slang. Mm-hmm. And so I think she kind of was in that headspace and thought maybe this was Gen Z slang too. But she goes, wait, what is Chevron?
And honestly, I'm jealous. I'm jealous that she didn't know. I wish I couldn't answer it.
And literally, guys, but I vindicated myself today because I really, when I envision my Pinterest board, my wedding board that I made in middle school, it's filled with Chevron in my brain, in my mind's eye. And I clicked on it today. No Chevron.
You probably
it's
have
still
edited
bad.
It.
It's still bleak, but no Chevron.
I bet you edited it. Oh my God, I can't speak.
Wow.
Anyway, guys. Okay. So as I mentioned in the beginning, we have a giveaway. If you're listening today on October 17th, it starts today. just a few of the things in our giveaway that you can win. We have a black mini weekender base bag, which is a great bag, you guys. I use it all the time. It's great for like a carry-on or just every day. And then to go inside of it, we have another little something from the base collection, but this is from the Base X Wicked collab. It is the Glinda pink toiletries case, which is really, really nice. You'll love it. We have a custom Stanley tumbler in there that says The Pretty Little Podcast. Phoebe and I both drink out of them, and they're freaking amazing if you're millennial or Gen Z or Gen Alpha or literally whatever you are. Okay, we also have a clear Lululemon belt bag, like for concerts, for sporting events, things like that. The Summer Fridays lip like oil, I think it is, in Rosewood Nights, of course. We have a signed copy of the first Pretty Little Liars book. It is signed by Sarah Shepherd herself, and it does say, "Hey, Road Warriors." So it's a very, very exciting one. We have a little handmade goodie from our mother. She makes these amazing little oyster shells. So we have one of those going in the giveaway. We have some gift cards in there. I'm trying to think what else is in there. It's right in front of me, but I'm not like reaching in it. We have Ariana Maddox's cocktail book. What else? Oh, a bar sweatshirt. There's the bar sweatshirt in there.
Yeah, it's that's major.
Black on black. We got it in a 2X. It will shrink like a size to a half a size, depending on how you wash it. But it's like my favorite sweatshirt ever. I love it so much. You will love it. They're very hard to get. They're sold out right now. So this is your chance, you guys. There are more things, too, that I can't think of. Our candles from Target that we love that Phoebe and I always talk about. We got, like, a sampler of all of their scents.
Yes.
So you can try it. Choose what you like the best.
I just bought a new one.
Of the same.
It's burning right cashmere. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, I did, too.
I was going to try a new one.
Well, the Amber Sunrise. I burn the vanilla cashmere and the Amber Sunrise at the same time. Creates a very cozy smell.
Mm.
And they were buy one, get one 50% off. So, anyway. Got those, lots of things, and more and more and more. So to see all of the amazing things you could win, make sure you are following us at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. That's on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok as well at The Pretty Little Podcast. And you can find out how you can win this giveaway, which closes on our season 5 finale, Halloween. Wow. How poetic, honestly.
That's crazy.
I know. Can you believe we're going into our final 2 seasons of Pretty Little Liars? Like,
no, I mean, we're going to be done with Pretty Little Liars in a year.
I know.
Basically.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Ah, oh my God. Well, if you've been here from the beginning or if you just got here, we love you so much. Thank you for being here. Make sure you go rate, review, subscribe, share it with everybody you know. Tell a friend, tell an enemy. We don't care. Love you guys so much. And we will see you next week.
And
Spurs Galena. And there is a Patreon podcast tomorrow.
Bulls Galena.
Oh, that was actually kind of good.
Bulls Galena. Squam B.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.